Yeah. Okay, fine. I'll see them there. I think it's a nice idea. Have Hunger get some desk in there, just some storage desk, and put it out there. If you can. All right, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I was just talking to Alex here.
Oh.
What is the, how did it go this morning? Everybody happy?
Yes, sir. It was a fine. Good session. They
good idea, too.
Covered the whole ground. John covered domestic, and George the budget and economics, and Gregor legislative. Henry did a superb job on.
Did he?
A good foreign policy.
Was he in good shape?
Good form.
Good.
He's great, you know, he really is, and that stuff. He walked in, and he came late.
Sure.
He said, I apologize for not being here to hear the other speakers, but as you know, the president's giving me hell every half hour.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't let me leave till I had gotten this half hour's worth. I mean, you know, and then he played off of that kind of stuff, and he just does a marvelous job. And I think people came away with a very good, upbeat feeling.
Well, the thing about it, too, is that, as we know, Bob, Henry, with his faults, is still just so basically in tune with what the hell I believe in. And it's a goddamn loyal.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Well, he did a great job of laying out the, you know, China and Soviet thing and wrapping up Vietnam. Giving us feel that they know what the plan is and that it's working damn well, but that there are going to be some possible setbacks here and there and that nobody should flap about it.
Good.
And that's what our people need to know.
The thing is that everything isn't going to be like you get in India, Pakistan, and you have to bomb the north so everybody doesn't say, oh, Christ.
Right.
I mean, hell, that's part of foreign policy.
He laid that out and then said the North Vietnamese are going to have some spectacular event that's going to make it, they're going to do everything they can to make it look like a disaster for us. It won't be, but it'll be played that way. And we just got to be prepared for that and go through it and then go on about what we're doing, which is working. You know, and he hit that damn hard. So I picked it up at the closing and said the same thing applies to the political thing too this year. We're going to get good polls and bad ones. And we better not get excited about the good ones or depressed about the bad ones. And we know the opposition's going to score some points on us. There's no point in getting upset about that. We've got our plan. We know what we're doing. We're in good shape. And, you know, there we go. So, I think we've got, you know, it was a good thing to do.
Well, I'm glad you did it. Another thing, too, is that I think there is sort of a tendency, as we know, in the campaign period for everybody to sort of sit around and grouse and say that things are going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And that those guys, you know what I mean? And,
yep.
Now, understand, I am all for, believe me, all for Price and Buchanan and Halleck and others writing their critiques. And we'll get them from them. And saying everything's going to hell and they're not doing anything right, and our support is thin, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you ever start getting that sort of a feeling around, Bob, it just destroys the thing. The thing to do is to remember that things are going to hell a lot better than we have any right to expect.
We should
not be. That doesn't mean that we say, Jesus, we're swimming. We simply say we have a hell of a fight, but we're doing well. But I think there's one tendency that you can feed it to all the cabinet. The thing is that it'll be a very, very rapidly spreading virus among your staff people, particularly younger people and some cabinet people and the rest. That anytime anything goes a little bit wrong, they'll throw up their hands and say everything's gone to hell.
Yep.
And I don't think we've got much of that now, frankly. I mean, not as much as last year, at least, do we?
We don't. People are better seasoned, for one thing. They've been through a couple of things that were supposedly the end of the world, and it didn't end.
That's why I say on the news, on the Buchanan analysis, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think all of those things. I mean, you know, people, your staff meetings and the rest, tell them, now, look, fellas, let's keep our heads and our perspective. I mean, what's going to be the big story next week?
Right.
What troubles will the other fellow have? And so forth. So I just told Alex I'd sign the Ehrlichman's wants me to sign this.
Yeah, he was Doc. That's great. If you don't mind.
And all the others, I told him to bring them over here to the diplomatic reception.
Just do it on the way out.
Sure. Because, you know, it's just
that's good. They can kind of send you off to the hill.
They did all this work. Budget. one of the points that is very, very important on this thing is, as I told you, is to remember your great capacity that two fellows particularly have, one is McGregor and one is Colson, to sort of build people that sort of talk the upbeat stuff, you know.
Yep.
They're fighters, see? They're based, you know, the reason they do is that both of them, each one of them is a realist. Jesus Christ, they never, I must say, McGregor having lost an election or two, and Colson knowing that you go up and down, they're realists, but,
you
know, but they know the overwhelming importance not to go down, but go around with your mouth hanging down.
Yep.
Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
And I think that's a so important experience. And it's really sort of the Connolly attitude, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's never down. You talk to us sort of candidly about things, but he doesn't talk that way.
He never projects it. That's the key thing.
He always says, gee, thanks. Well, I think that we're doing great.
Yep.
And, you know.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else to do this morning? No?
Okay.
Last day, the 28th month. The last of the third year.
The first of the fourth.
First of the fourth.
We kind of opened the meeting on that,
yeah.
Thinking back to 3 years ago this morning when we were all trying to figure out what the hell we were here for and how we were going to do.
Yeah.
This has developed into quite a crew over that 3 years.
I think it's a great idea to do it. I was thinking of this and that connection. Do you think maybe I ought to have the breakfast, but not this year with the Democrats, except for a few? I mean, I'll do some of the Democrats with a little pop at night, you know, in our good conservative Democrats. But what I meant is the breakfast for the Republicans. We could do about 3-4 breakfasts for Republicans very easy, you know what I mean? Do you think it's a good idea?
We had talked about that. There's the problem is you don't want to have them with the Democrats, I don't think.
Not this year, no,
and,
no.
And the other side of it is if you have it just with the Republicans,
it looks partisan.
Then you get the contrast to last year when we had it with the Democrats.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't matter.
No. The point that I make is that if I did this, I would have Democrats in at night, selected Democrats for a drink.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we can say, well, we're doing different things. We've got some gays having a reception, and you have a breakfast with Mansfield, you know, do all that crap, you know, and one with Albert.
Yeah.
I suggest the breakfast because it's time gets these guys.
Well, it might be a good idea. And of course, all those guys are going to be running.
They're all going to be running.
We need them not fighting for
it. We appreciate their help, so forth and so on. And then I would have in, and I'd have in the senior Democratic guys that have been helpful to us, like I'd have in the Southern Democratic crowds, you know, terms. People like Hebert and Stennis, you know, people like that. I'd have them in sometime for them. So, yeah, we're having Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah. But don't make a thing out of the Republican thing of covering everybody. We'll just say you're having a group in.
Yeah.
Maybe not do them all right in sequence so that it doesn't look like
no, I agree. I agree. I'd have, and rather than having them in alphabetical order, you might have them in terms of when they came to Congress. But they can say that it's the club, you know.
Yeah.
This club and that club have invited me, and so I have invited them up here to do a group of
things. That has some merit, too, because you can talk a little differently to the older guys than you do to the younger guys. They're different. Okay.
Alex asked whether or not I should have one of the women. I asked you about that. And he said, no, say something about Mrs. Stans and Mrs. Harden. I don't know.
I don't think so.
The only one that can do it is Adele Rogers. She's short and she's damn good.
Yeah. And Adele certainly can.
Yeah.
as the ranking cabin wife played.
Well, she's the ranking. Of course, Mrs. Agnew is, but she can't do it.
Well, yeah, but she's a little different.
Yeah.
She's sort of in luck with Mrs. Nixon there.
Yeah, that's right. They don't do that. I think maybe we could do that. Sort of. What do you think? Mean something to the women that are there?
I suppose maybe it does. I'm not really sure, but it doesn't hurt anything. It's probably...
It's a cheap shot for us. Just ask
probably
Adele.
Worth doing it. Adele.
Ask Adele. Tell her we're just going to have two minutes about Mrs. Harden and Mrs. Stan and the women in the cabin. All the women in the cabin. Then tell her for the other thing that we're going to have the non-cabinet type speaking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that we get like the Harlow and the two alumni, and the two departing ones, so that we get the big shots not in at this time, but that we'd like for her to say a word about that.
Okay.
And, that's good.
I'll tell Alex that you...
That Alex...
What, did you leave it with
him? I said I'd ask you,
okay.
You and I discussed it.
Okay.
So,
I'll confirm that then. And Colson was always on the list, as was Mrs. Mallory.
Well, I wasn't sure. Colson didn't raise it, understand.
Well, I thought I was sure.
I didn't. He didn't raise it, but I had just, I was looking over the thing and thinking about the fact that I had suggested Scally to you.
Yeah.
And then I thought, my God, if I have Scally, you can't have him without Colson.
No question.
That's why I called.
That's right. He was on.
Because the thing is, another reason I suggested him is that he has never asked me to go on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And, when a guy doesn't ask,
right,
I feel a hell of a lot different about putting them on than when they do ask.
No,
you know, he's
awful good about all that.
He never has.
He's got good sense.
Never wants to be out front and everything. He just likes, he knows damn well it's what's more important is that I know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Henry made the foreign policy sound pretty good, huh?
Yeah, he did. It sounds darn good. He covers all the mystique. The building block, he's got some good analogies of the blocks that you've been laboring so painstakingly to build over the last several years are now starting to take form.
Oh, about the cabinet meeting this afternoon, do we have an agenda for the damn thing? Has that come?
Yeah. Basically, it's a
budget?
Schultz thing, yeah.
Well, I guess we better not crap around. I guess the funny thing is I hate for it to be so dull. Well, did you get a hold of Connelly and ask him if it's okay to sign and give a brief report?
Here it is. That's Stein's going to give a brief report. Rumsfeld a brief report. Then Schultz a quick rundown on the budget outlook. And that's it. That'll be fine.
That's enough.
The State of the Union will set them up on.
And we shouldn't have it. And we shouldn't have a long cabinet.
No point in getting repetitious on that. Right. Figuring an hour and 15 minutes. We ought to get it done in that.
You've got to hold a Harlow on.
Yeah. We're going to set that up. Or he's going to. Oh, he's got it before he gets up there today.
I was wondering with regard to the cocktail hour, I was reconsidering whether due to the nature of the thing, we ought to come down maybe right at 8 or 7:30, shake hands and then stay for 15 minutes, stand around a little and then go in. You see that, which is a different type of thing. They're just going through the line and going to dinner.
Yeah. I think if you want to, that's fine. I don't
care to.
My inclination would be not to.
You just get sandbagged. But I don't think we need it. No, I don't think we do.
The problem is you get sandbagged by the wrong people. If you could move around and chat with some of the people you don't see, that'd be fine.
Well, we would just make the receiving line very leisurely.
Slow,
long.
Yeah. Right.
And have people, I don't, since it is long and leisurely, I just wonder if people ought to move right into this. Well, that's all right for them. They don't mind sitting in their tables.
No, I think they probably ought not to. I think that's maybe the answer.
Yeah.
Is to have them not go into the dining room. Have them stay, and then you lead the thing into the dining room.
Yeah. And we'll go in first, huh?
Yeah. Why not? We've done that on some others, and it works pretty well. I know Mrs. Mitchell didn't want to do it for steak dinners anymore.
Well, if we do.
But you just finish the line. As soon as the line's through, you turn and go down the hall, and everybody else follows you down. You go in and sit down. They all come in and sit down after you.
Well, the trouble is...
They can't start serving right away.
They can't start. And also, I'm a little... In a box, I think, pop up every time somebody comes in. I think they ought to just...
When the line's halfway through, we'll start them in.
Yeah, you start them in a leisurely way.
Instead of running them all in right...
Don't run them right in. Just have the drinking go on just a little while. In other words, make it for five so that we stand there for a minute, and then dinner is served at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
8 o'clock, whatever it is.
It's going to be, don't get a big kick out of it anymore. The non-cabin people especially.
Yes, of course, it means more than the cabin people, but the cabin people are not going
to. They sure do.
You know, considering everything, I was just thinking, we probably come out and understand about as well as we can hope at the end of 3 years today. Maybe we would have liked to have stood better, but you consider that the divided Congress for foreign policy. I thought that was an extremely interesting thing to get Gallup. Which is basically his depth analyzer.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that kind of thing, and I think supposedly Harris may be more important than the other kind.
Oh, sure it is, because it gets into some degree. The other is just a
degree, and
it
was going
to
last. Okay. Let's see.
Very good.